Well, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us here at KMXT 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station here in Kodiak, and it's time for another episode of Talk of the Rock. I'm your host today, Dylan Simard, and joining me is Dr. Cindy Mecca, the new superintendent for Kodiak Island Borough School District. How are you doing today, Cindy?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for coming on. I'm going to kick it off. Welcome to Kodiak. I know it's not Texas, but what do you think of our small town?
Oh, I love it already. Flying in yesterday, all the green and the scenery is just beautiful. So different from when I was here just in May.
It does tend to change a lot. Just wait until the roads will change color and become reflective in the wintertime. That's because they're completely paved over with ice.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's not too much fun. So when is your first day?
Today was my first day. So I flew in yesterday on last night and started bright and early this morning.
So what's been on your agenda for day one? What has this been like for you?
So just setting up my office, unpacking all of the boxes that I shipped here for my office. Did some work with the finance department so that I could start signing financial documents, etc. And then I have some meetings set this afternoon with school board members. Met with our technology department, just trying to get settled into the office and hitting the ground running.
Well, best of luck to you with that. And of course, welcome to town. A few other things that I want to ask you about. Can you tell me a little bit about the school district that you came from and how that relates to the school district that we have here in Kodiak?
Sure. So I came from a small school district in Texas, small relative to Texas. When I moved there 18 years ago, there were about 3,000 students, but it was on the northern part of the Dallas Metroplex. And so it's been a fast growth district. And so in the past 18 years, we've grown from about 3,000 students to about 8,500 students.
Wow.
So we're adding schools there every year as we're trying to keep up with the housing market. What used to be a small town community has now just kind of been engulfed by the Metroplex. And so
right.
It was one of the factors leading me to want to come to Kodiak and back to a small community was that it really had just outgrown where I wanted to be.
So your preference is to work with smaller districts?
Absolutely.
Okay. What are some of those, as far as the role of superintendent goes, what are some of the differences between working with a larger district like the one you left and a smaller district like the one you've just come to?
I think the larger district that I just left, there were a lot of people that did singular type jobs. So, you know, you have the superintendent, then you have the deputy over all of operations, then you have the assistant superintendent, which is the position I felt filled, which was over really anything that dealt with students and their instruction. And so, but then underneath me, I had multiple people that had singular functions. And so I had someone that was over English language arts, or someone that was over math instruction, and someone that was over assessments. And so here in Kodiak, it's going to be getting back to where we have a few people that do a lot of different things and wear many hats. And so that's where I started out with in my previous district, and where I'm looking forward to getting back to, where you get to kind of touch everything that happens in the district.
So that's very interesting. Another thing that I want to ask you about is you get to have the unique challenge, or perhaps unique opportunity, to be in, dare I say, the first year back to a post-pandemic, or back to it, arriving at a new post-pandemic normalcy. How are you in the school district planning for that, and what do you see in the district's future in regards to COVID?
So I think that we all learned a very valuable lesson last June or July. You know, we were all planning on going back to a new normal, and then all of a sudden we got hit by a new wave. And so I know in where I was coming from in Texas, we were kind of taken back, and we learned real quick to pivot again and be flexible. And I think that that's one of the things that we'll take away from this pandemic is the need for flexibility and always having a plan in your back pocket. And so getting back to normal, what is the new normal? And I think that that's what you know, we're all still, what is the new normal? What did we learn positives that we can take away from the pandemic? And what do we never want to see happen again as a result of what we learned for the pandemic? And so, you know, our team here has just been talking about, you know, what is it going to look like when we reopen? We want to have, you know, of course, we ended with face-to-face instruction. We want to continue that. We're planning great teacher in-service in person this year. We're planning a convocation and bringing in a motivational speaker for our staff at the beginning of the year, and then getting back to what we do best, and that's, you know, focusing on instruction and teaching our students. But I think in the mind of anyone that's in education is, how do we close the gaps that were unintentionally caused, especially in that first year when we were just trying to get our feet underneath us?
Right.
And so I think every school district did the best that they could after March until the end of the school year, but we were faced with something that we had never done before. And I know that like Kodiak, at the school district in Texas where I was, we were already had computers in the students' hands, and you did here as well. And so we were ready for that, but it was difficult for our teachers to teach from home and to make sure that we were able to keep up those relationships, those positive relationships with the students, so that they knew that we cared about them and they belonged in our school system with us. And it was difficult for the parents, and that's something that we don't ever want to face again is you know, that complete shutdown. And so whatever we can do, working with our medical advisors and keeping going, moving forward, and getting back to, you know, making sure that the students are learning from us, that we're closing those gaps by accelerating their instruction, and that we're building positive relationships with them and working on their social emotional side as well.
So another question I wanted to ask you, this is the second time that you have applied for the superintendent position here at KIVSD. What brought you back to this job in particular the second time? What made you so motivated to search it out?
Well, I think several things. I think the big thing is you have to know a little bit about me and my family. So I have a son, and I adopted him from the Philippines when he was 6 weeks old. And I grew up, went to high school in the Philippines. And so it's always been near and dear to my heart, the Filipino culture. And then to find that here on Kodiak Island, where there are so many Filipinos, and then just the diverse culture that exists here really drew me. I grew up overseas my whole life, pretty much until I graduated from high school. My parents moved over when I was two, and I came back to the U.S. for college, and then after I graduated college, I actually went back overseas for my first teaching appointment was in Japan. And so having that diverse culture really appealed to me. And I also love living on an island. I've lived on many islands. I've lived on an island in the Caribbean. I've lived in the Philippines, Singapore, close to islands when I was off the coast in Italy. And so it's always just really appealed to me living in this type of an environment. And so when I saw the posting come back around for Kodiak, just thought about it, talked with my family about it, prayed about it, and here I am.
Well, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about the arc of your career in education. I think you touched on that just a little, but tell me about how you started your first teaching job in Japan, how you were drawn to education, and how you ended up here as superintendent in Kodiak.
So I think that I got drawn to education with my father's job. We moved quite a bit. In fact, I went to 9 schools from kindergarten, 9 schools in 9 different countries from kindergarten till I graduated high school. And so the one constant, two constants really in my life was my family and my education. And no matter what school I went to, the teachers always were there for me. And it was my one thing that I always knew would be the same. No matter what country I lived in, my education was my education. And so that really drew me to become a teacher. So I studied special ed and elementary education in college. And then I was drawn back overseas. The town I was living in, they had a sister city program with a small rice village in Japan. And so I was hired by the Japanese Department of Education to work as an English teacher in that rice village. And so that got me started on my education career. And then I came back to the U.S. To pursue my education and my master's and my doctoral degree, and just ended up staying. But it's always been something that I've been drawn to. I've taught all levels. I taught high school, middle school, and elementary. And then I got into education as an assistant principal in an elementary school, and then moved into the principalship and just worked my way up from there, mainly on the curriculum and instruction side of the school district, until I became assistant superintendent and then worked with all facets dealing with students.
That's amazing. I actually have a dear friend who's in a very similar program to what you described for the English language teaching in Japan, and he thinks it's just about the most incredible thing he's ever done in his life. So
it was a wonderful experience.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, what are you looking forward to working on with the school board here?
You know, I think that, number one, you know, keeping the positive community relations and carrying on the work that Dr. Ledoux has had in that realm. Then also working on the improving student achievement. And so where we are now, and then what do we need to tweak? Small incremental changes just to add to our student success. But I think that taking the district where it is, it's a great district, and working on what we need to make sure that all students are successful, and having a very collaborative working relationship with the school board. I've already feel like I have great relationships with them. They've brought me over several times since I was hired in February, and so I've had many one-on-one meetings. I've sat in on all the board meetings virtually that I couldn't attend in person, and have just felt like we're going to work together for the betterment of our students and our community.
In one of my last conversations for a news story I did with one of the last times that I spoke to Larry Ledoux, other than the Talk of the Rock I did with him 2 weeks ago, we discussed Alaska's very unique and certainly difficult for superintendents system of funding education programs around the state. I wanted to ask you if you had any insight on that system, and if you had any sort of plans at the present moment for dealing with it. I'm certain it's far different from what they had in Texas.
It is very different than what they had in Texas. One of the positives that I noted right away is that it's the funding's based on that you get from the state is actually based on enrollment, not average daily attendance. So that's a positive. I also was able to sit in on the borough meetings, both in person and virtually, as we were going through the budget process. And so that was a eye-opener for me, because I haven't been faced with that type of setting a budget, asking for the borough for funds. So it's all a big learning curve for me. And I know that Dr. Ledoux will be one of my mentors and working with me to help me guide me through it. But I'm really blessed also to have Sandy Dawes as our CFO, who's going to be guiding me along the way. It's going to be very different. I think my plans are to learn as much as I can about the system, and adding on to that knowledge, limited knowledge that I have right now about how we set the budget. And so, you're right, it's very different from how we do it in Texas. In Texas, it's a bit, we basically, it's on our school districts have their own ability to tax on housing. And so we set our own budget and we control our own budget based on the amount of money that we're able to tax out of the housing that we have, as well as sales tax that we garner from any businesses that we have within our boundaries. And so most of our money that we attain is locally taxed, but the school district sets that taxing rate. And so that's the number one biggest difference between the system that I'm used to for finances and coming into this system. So it's going to be a huge one. And so when I say learning curve, that's probably one of my biggest learning curves, is how the funding and the budget is set here in Alaska.
So do schools in Texas still get like state funding, or nowhere near as much as in Alaska?
We do get state funding, but not in the same manner. It's,
right.
It's and if we make too much money on our housing taxes, then we actually pay the school district, I mean, pay the state back funds. And so that's a big issue in Texas for a lot of school districts, is that you set your tax rate, and then if you actually garner too much, then you actually have to pay back the states, and then they give it to the districts that are property poor.
That's so interesting. What an interesting system. I wanted to ask you another big issue for the school is teacher retention and the amount of substitute teachers that the district has. Do you have any insight on that? I know that that's an issue for districts around the country, but I know that it's also a particular concern here on in an island community.
Yeah, it is. And so I've had a lot of talks with Kim Saunders, our assistant superintendent, about that and what can we do to retain our teachers and also to bring in substitute teachers. It is a huge concern, and the pandemic just made it worse. We were already struggling in school districts across the nation, and more so during the pandemic and coming out of it. You know, our number one issue that we're having is finding the people that want to come here, and then helping them find housing, because that's been a huge concern with the new teachers that we have coming in. And I've talked with several community leaders already about that, and what can we do to help in that process. I know that the school district has worked on having a pool of working with landlords and trying to get that information to our new teachers as quickly as we can to help them. But it's really hard when you find a new teacher and then they don't feel like they can find housing.
Right.
But then also the substitutes, what can we do to bring them in, and how do we find those that are willing to work in our schools? And you know, also with substitutes, it's also the training. What training are we going to provide them so that they're successful in the classroom, so they want to keep coming back? And so those are all strategies that we're talking about. How do we go out and find the teachers? How do we go out and find the substitutes? And how do we make sure that we're taking care of our employees so they want to stay and they're not leaving the island? We're also working on a Grow Your Own program that our assistant superintendent, Ms. Saunders, is working on and has been working to talk to the board about the past two board meetings, about trying to take some of our paraprofessionals and getting them, working with them for their bachelor's degree so that they will stay and become teachers then. So those are different things that we're working on, bringing in the teachers, retaining them, but then also, like you said, it's hard on an island to find that pool of substitutes. And what can we do to ensure that we have teachers or subs in the classroom every day?
Right. So what do you see? I guess we've just brought up two things, but besides those, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see right now for the district?
You know, we talked about this already. Coming out of the pandemic is going to be closing those learning gaps that were unintentionally caused during the shutdown and while students were home or learning virtually. And so that's going to be probably our number one, is what do we intentionally do to close those learning gaps and then get the students back on grade level, those that are behind, but also finding ways to continue challenging our students that don't have a gap, that are doing just fine. So it's that balance. How do we accelerate our students that have learning loss, and then how do we maintain and challenge the students that don't? I think that's going to be the number one focus for us and the number one challenge coming out of the pandemic. And then also, how do we keep our teachers happy, that they come to work every day happy, and that they love working in KIBSD and want to stay and continue working with us.
Right. It's certainly those are issues that there's no textbook to work out of for them. You're going to have to, with every other superintendent in America, think up new solutions.
There is definitely no textbook. We threw those out in March of 2020. But I think that really what it's going to be is listening, taking time to listen to the teachers, taking time to listen to parents, listening to our community, and working together collaboratively for a plan. You know, it's not one person that's going to get us out of this. It's working together, locking arms and marching in the same direction for the same focus, which is student success. And so what does that look like? And how are we going to get there? And what flexibilities do we need to ensure that we're focusing on student and we're student-centered success? That's what we're here for.
So we've talked about some of the hardships that the school district has been facing for some time now. What about some of the opportunities that you see with some of the programs that we have here? What are you excited about for getting to work in this district?
I'm really excited about the artist in residence, the Monoctet. That's new, something I've never been involved with before. Working with the village schools, I was able to get out to all of our village schools in May, and seeing them, working with some of the tribal education groups, and that's all going to be a great opportunity for me and a learning for me, and I'm really excited about that. And it's the people here in the community and the school district. I've already know that it's going to be a great working relationship. We already have started working on some instructional plans. We've already started working on how we can structure for collaboration, how we can support our teachers. And so those are all opportunities because the groundwork was here. It's a great school district. And so how I'm approaching it is what little tweaks can we make to take what's already working and just make it work better.
When you're not busy doing the work as superintendent, what are you up to here in Kodiak?
So, you know, right now, I think the next 6 weeks is going to be me settling in and working. But August 19th, my son's going to be joining me. And I know that once he gets there, that's what I'm going to be focused on after work is just spending time with him. We love to be outside. He was able to be here with me for 3 weeks in May, and we went to, we took the drive out to Fossil Beach, and we took the drive out to White Sands Beach. We went hiking on Spruce Cape, and so just different things. We like that. We're going to enjoy, neither of us know how to fish, so we're going to learn, we're going to enjoy learning how to fish. And so I think that for me, though, being a mom and spending time with my son is what I like to do. I love to read. I love to cook. I love to do needlework. But mainly I like just spending time with him and getting out in nature.
Okay. Lastly, I want to ask you a bit of a more open-ended question. We went over what you're doing with day one, but what's sort of on your mind right now for week one, month one, and year one?
I think that week one, I'm going to be reaching out to the board members that are in town and just having some sit downs with them and you know, what do they want? Where do they want the district to go? And what would they like me to start working on? And so starting to work on those relationships and getting a clear focus. Also working on a communication plan with the community. I'm also working with the Coast Guard so that we can do some meet and greets with the new Coast Guard families that are coming in and getting them integrated into our school system so that it's seamless for them. I think month one is working with our CFO, Sandy Dawes, and understanding the budget and where we are and where we need to be, looking at any of our curricular needs with our Director of Curriculum and Instruction. Our principals will be coming back on contract soon, and so I have a week-long plan of learning for them and working with them on what our focus and our direction is going to be. It's really going to be important that we look at that we all have one common focus and a plan for how we're going to get there. And so that's what I'm going to be working with the principals the first week of August. After that, it's going to be fast and furious with the new teacher in service, and then the teacher in service, and then welcoming those kids back to school and starting that. I think year one also, we have some big things that we need to do. Our strategic plan should have been updated this past year, but because of the pandemic, that took focus. And so we'll be working on updating that. We'll be working on updating some of our curriculum and instruction. And what we're actually handing our teachers to teach with, and then looking at our curricular resources as well. And so I think this first year is going to be sitting back, listening, taking a look at what we have, but then working on the important things, and our focus, our strategic plan really needs to be worked on and ironed out this year. And then we'll have the another big focus this year will be our negotiations with our associations. And so we'll have those coming up fairly quickly so that we can get those ironed out and ready to start next school year.
Okay. Well, I think we've just about wrapped up our time here, but thank you so much for coming on. This has been another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I've been your host today, Dylan Smart, and joining me was Dr. Cindy Mika, the new superintendent for Kodiak Island Borough School District. Thank you again so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me here on my very first day.
Yep. Well, take care and have a good one.
Thank you. You too.